You're listening to Comedy Central.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
In the 90s, New York detective Louis Scarcella locked up the worst criminals.
Putting bad guys away, there's no feeling like it.
Then jailhouse lawyers took aim, led by Derek Hamilton.
Scarcella took me to the precinct and lied.
20 men eventually walked free. Now, in the Burden podcast, after a decade of silence, Louis Scarcella finally tells his story, and so does Derek Hamilton. Listen to The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big day today. The Oscar nominations came out. Yes, powerful, powerful moment. Many, many movies were nominated. Many were snubbed. You know, I don't know about you, but I always feel like the Oscars, whenever the Oscars have the nominations announcement, I always feel like that's when it's like movie homework time for me. Because it's never the movies I've watched. Do you know what I mean? Like, the nominations are always like, and the nominations are Man in an Old Place, Woman Doing a Thing a Long Time Ago, Black Person Suffering. And then it's, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I haven't watched any, I should. And then we all walk around, we're like, have you seen it? I'm going to. Of course I'm going to. Because like the Oscars, it's never like shit that I've seen. They're never like, and the nominees are Transformers, seen it. Fast and Furious, seen it. Matrix, unfortunately seen it. Do you know what I mean? It's never, like the Oscars always feel like they do it on purpose. It's almost like they go to the box office and they're like, what are the people watching? Then they're like, these ones. What are they not watching? All right, these are the ones we're gonna. It's like a disconnect, you know? And I'm not saying the movies are not good. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just saying there's a disconnect clearly between like what we want to watch and what we should watch. It's like these movies are the vegetables of movies. Very good for you. Powerful for the soul. Powerful. But when you're high on some shit, you're not craving these movies.
Coming to you from the heart of Times Square in New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show, Ears Edition. Tonight, Putin's big table. Dems take their masks off. And Robert Glasper. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Daily Show. I'm Trevor Noah. And joining me for today's headlines is Desi Leidig. What's going on, Desi? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm excited. Got a big game this weekend. Mm-hmm. Bengals versus Rams.
Super Bowl. I feel you.
Oh, no. I'm having an animal fighting ring in my backyard. I'm renting a ram and a Bengal tiger, and they're going at it head to head. Got chili, placing bets. You're coming over, right? Nothing weird about it. I got permits. I got the whole nine yards.
I would love to be there. I just promised Michael.
Yeah. And
he's so happy to have me.
I'll see you after.
All right, cool.
I'll see you after, right. Michael's.
Sounds good. All right, let's jump into today's headlines. We kick things off with the big international news that could possibly lead us to World War III. And no, I'm not talking about whether Northwest should be on TikTok. I'm talking about Russia and Ukraine. Because every day, Putin moves his tanks closer and closer to the Ukraine border, creating the world's most high-stakes game of, I'm not touching you. You can't call, Mom. I never touch your face. Never touch your face. I don't touch your face. Now, because war is bad for business and also human life, every country is trying everything that they can to talk Russia down from its invasion plans. And yesterday, the president of France took his shot. And people had high hopes for this meeting, you know, because the French and the Russians, they have a lot in common. For example, both have disgusting salad dressings named after them. But despite this commonality, the meeting did not go well.
French President Emmanuel Macron is in Russia. He met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow at a 20-foot-long table, thanks to COVID restrictions. Macron believes Russia has a right to ask questions about its security and seek guarantees. Putin did not offer to de-escalate in that meeting with Macron, but Russia does continue to deny any plans of an invasion.
Okay, people, what the hell is this? Why are they sitting so far apart? Like, I've been in Zoom meetings where I'm sitting closer to the other person. Why do you even have a table so big? Like, did you see that thing? Like, maybe Putin isn't trying to take over Ukraine because he's evil. Maybe he just needs more space for his giant f***ing furniture. Apparently, the reason for this distance is because they say they want to make sure that everyone is safe. That's what they say. And no, I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about Putin. Yeah, if he wants to kill you, at least with this table, he's got to catch an Uber to get to your end. In 4 minutes, you're dead. 5 minutes now, Latif missed his turn. Why would you take that road? I don't know. So if I cancel now, do I pay? How does this work?
Putin is playing some crazy psychological mind games with Macron.
You think so?
Yeah, French people don't know how to sit at a big table like that. He didn't know what to do. They're used to those tiny little bistro tables where they have, like, room for one little glass of wine and a cube of cheese. That's it.
It's the French thing.
Also, I can't stop thinking about the poor delivery guy who had to lug that table all the way up the staircase just for that meeting. And then he had to wait 5 hours and take the table back down. Crazy.
Well, I don't think that's how delivery works.
Well, think about it. If he's playing mind games like that, he brought that table in specifically for that meeting. And that delivery guy, he better not get any nicks or dings in it because he's getting poison in the neck if he does.
Yeah, I think you have a very different idea of what they do. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened.
We'll agree to disagree.
We totally agree, I think.
Look, all I'm saying is, the table might be better than catching COVID, but it could also be the reason that there's a giant war. Because these two couldn't possibly have understood each other at all. I mean, just listen to the conversation.
Mr. Putin, we cannot risk another war.
What? We cannot skin another boar?
No, not boars. I'm talking about foreign affairs.
You're having an affair? Of course, you're French.
Maybe I could sit closer to you.
No, I'm saving this seat for a friend. His coat is on it.
But you can't hear anything I'm saying.
That is interesting, yeah.
Are you doing that thing where you agree because you're not sure what I said? Moscow smells like urine. Your face looks like a peach head Botox.
And it's only Monday.
All right, let's make like the president of your high school drama club and move to New York City. Last month, New York inaugurated a new mayor. Moderate Democrat and former police captain, Eric Adams. And even though he's new in the job, that hasn't stopped him from making his presence felt. For instance, he's said that he's gonna take his mayor's salary in crypto. Yeah, which means he's the richest mayor, poorest mayor, richest mayor, poorest mayor, richest mayor, poorest mayor, richest mayor, poorest mayor. I wish I'd taken cash mayor in the world right now. Also, Mayor Adams is a vegan. Yeah, no, I thought he was black. I know. And this week he announced that going forward, all New York City schools would have to have mandatory vegan Fridays, which I actually think is a great idea. Yes, because Friday I think needs to be taken down a peg, you know? Oh, you're excited for the weekend? How about a tofu sandwich, bitch? Now, obviously because of this decision, a lot of people are mad. Like, a lot of people are mad. You have to eat meat or it's not a meal! But if you ask me, there's nothing wrong with kids being exposed to different kinds of foods and different kinds of diets. And yeah, I'm talking about you, kids with peanut allergies. Stop being so close-minded. So yeah, schools in New York are gonna serve vegan food on Fridays, partly because the mayor himself is vegan. Or is he?
It's a big city scandal in New York. Mayor Eric Adams is making waves with the revelation that he eats fish. Adams is a self-proclaimed vegan.
A report in Politico New York over the weekend cited restaurant sources at a Midtown eatery frequented by the mayor, who say Adams often dines on fish. He released a statement saying, "I want to be a role model for people who are following or aspire to follow a plant-based diet. But as I said, I am perfectly imperfect and have occasionally eaten fish."
Okay, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. I can feel the stress in the room right now. Everybody calm down. I know you're angry right now, and I know you want him to step down, but give the man a chance. Yes, he's a vegan who sometimes eats fish, but don't get it twisted, man. Being a vegan isn't about eating vegan. It's about telling everybody that you're vegan. So technically, this man's legit. And that is what's great about New York. We're imperfect here. We're perfectly imperfect. You can label yourself whatever you want in New York, whether it's true or not. It doesn't matter. You know, that's why the vegan mayor isn't vegan. And that's why the New York Jets can call themselves a football team. You know, if you ask me, the weird thing to me is not that he cheats occasionally on his veganism. It's the fact that his cheat meal is fish. I mean, if you're gonna cheat, cheat, my man, cheat. Eat a cheeseburger or a pepperoni pizza. Eating fish as your cheat meal is like getting a hall pass from your spouse and using that hall pass to have sex with a fish. It's a total waste of a hall pass and a fish.
I gotta say, I really appreciate his transparency and that he didn't make the fish sign an NDA. That's progress.
I guess.
Yeah. Come on, this is like an adorable political scandal. This is ridiculous. Let the guy eat a little bit of fish. What's next? Adams took a penny but didn't leave a penny. He put a plastic cup in the paper recycling bin. He's keeping solitary confinement at Rikers. Okay, that one's bad.
The paper cup one's also pretty bad.
God.
Yeah, that's like, those are pretty bad.
I apologized over and over again. I don't know what else I can do.
The colors match, you put the, well, you know. All right, finally, if you're still looking for a perfect Valentine's Day gift, there are a few last minute options that you can consider. I know it's late, but you can consider these things. You can cook a nice meal, right? And if you can't cook, you can give that special person a coupon that they can exchange for a piece of jewelry later if they promise not to dump you, huh? Or you can get them a gift that'll take your relationship to totally new heights.
New this morning for you with a week to go until Valentine's Day. One company in Las Vegas wants to help couples safely join the Mile High Club. It's from the company Love Cloud, fittingly. Well, couples can rent a private 45-minute flight. It comes with a private bed blocked off from the pilot with the curtain there. Well, officials say there's also a commemorative membership card signed by the pilot himself. They also say the sheets are changed and everything's been cleaned in between flights for you. Prices for the romantic getaway start at $995.
Wow. Okay. This is not what I expected. And I feel like it kind of defeats the whole purpose of the Mile High Club. You know, the Mile High Club isn't just about having sex on a plane. It's about having terrible sex quietly without getting sucked down that toilet. That's the experience. Anyone can have sex on a plane. Not to mention, they said this flight only lasts 45 minutes. Only 45 minutes? You realize that's barely enough time to apologize for the first 2 minutes. And don't get me started on the fact that the pilot, AKA Mr. Smiley over here, I've just got to trust that I've got privacy because he closed that little curtain. I'm not going to pay $1,000 to have sex while some random dude is sitting there pretending to not pay attention. That's not a plane. That's a flying dorm room. So, I mean, look, good luck to these guys. But I don't know how many people are going to want to take this flight. Because there's always a chance of a crash. There's always a chance. When you fly, there's a chance you can crash. And nobody wants their obituary to be like, John Sanders was killed today when his sex plane crashed into a mountain. The main thing, though, is that it just doesn't seem like it's worth $1,000. It's a cool experience, but $1,000 is a lot of money. I mean, think about it. Spirit Airlines only costs, what, $119 round trip? Yeah. And they always leave you feeling like you were f***ed. So, I mean, that's a pretty sweet deal.
I completely agree with you. It takes all the fun out of it. It's like if CNN is going to hold a staff meeting where they're like, everyone come and masturbate, Jeffrey Toobin is not logging on to that. It takes all the fun out of it. If someone gave me that as a gift for Valentine's Day, I would break up with that person right away. I don't need to ride the jizz jet. I don't need that. Plus, if you think about it, it's not really all that practical because how are you going to fit all your sex toys in a carry-on? You gotta put them in airplane mode. You don't know if they're gonna work. You gotta just like pray for turbulence right before the final descent. And you get all your lube in those little 3-ounce bottles. It just doesn't work.
I never thought of the practicalities.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that really helped me a lot.
You're welcome.
Why does a sex toy have airplane? All right, let's get into our main story, which is about masks. Yes, a key tool in the fight against COVID and the reason we've all gotten really good at smizing. Now, masks have been a really contentious issue since the very beginning of the pandemic, and that doesn't seem like it's going to change. So, let's see where the mask debate stands now in another installment of Mask Madness. Let's be honest, people. There's been no point in this pandemic where everyone has been on the same page about masks. No point at all. Initially, the CDC said that masks don't help with COVID. That's what they said, right? Then I guess maybe they Googled something and then they decided, no, no, no. If you don't wear a mask, you're gonna kill your grandma. Then, because of all of that, we just had people arguing the whole time about us, well, mask this, mask that. People arguing with strangers in the street about proper mask wearing etiquette. It's below your nose, it's above your chin. Yours has a dolphin, where can I get one of those? And for a long time, red states and blue states had completely opposite mask policies, right? But now, many blue states are starting to change their tune.
Some strong indicators of the receding Omicron wave and the country's move toward a new normal. One by one, five states just announced dates to end mask mandates in schools, child care centers, or end indoor masking entirely. New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, Oregon, all ending their school mask mandates either this month or next. Delaware and Oregon will also drop their statewide indoor mask mandates entirely soon.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said his decision to drop a statewide school mask mandate is not a declaration of victory over the virus.
We're not going to manage COVID to zero. We have to learn how to live with COVID.
But many parents are still concerned, as only about 22% of children aged 5 to 11 are fully vaccinated, significantly lower than the nearly 75% of adults.
It seems to be a recipe for disaster, sending them in without masks on.
Oh, boy. Yep. This is a complicated issue. On the one hand, masks can do a lot to keep kids safe, right? They can also help to prevent the spread of COVID to teachers and to staff. And on top of that, they can help hide all of those middle school mustaches. I mean, I don't know why you need that. You're 14. Why do you look like a porn star? But you also have to weigh the benefits against the downsides, because kids need to see each other's faces to advance their emotional development, and it makes it easier to understand what the teacher is saying. And they need a place to store their pencils when they're not using them. But more and more, blue states are weighing the pros against the cons, and they're changing their tune. And they're deciding that it's time to get rid of mask mandates. And not just schools, by the way. Mask mandates are being repealed for adults too, mostly because the Omicron wave is subsiding, but also because Democratic politicians, they just can't seem to stop doing stuff like this.
Well, Stacey Abrams, a Democratic candidate for Georgia governor, faces criticism tonight for what she didn't put on her face. These are pictures that both Abrams and the principal of an Atlanta area elementary school tweeted out last week. Abrams was attending a Black History Month reading event, and you can see the children in the class are wearing masks. Teachers, staff, and guests in the class are wearing masks. Stacey Abrams is not. The event was in Decatur. That city and school district have mask mandates. Now, since the backlash started, Abrams has deleted the tweet, and the school's principal, who first tweeted the pictures, has deactivated her Twitter account.
The Abrams campaign suggests the attacks are politically motivated. The Abrams campaign also told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that she wore a mask to that school, but later removed it so she could be heard by students watching remotely, and for the photos, on the condition that everyone around her was wearing masks.
Stacey Abrams. Come on. You can just say that you messed up. You can just say that. Your team doesn't need to be like, oh no, Stacey only removed the mask so that the kids could hear her speech. First of all, no little kids want to hear a speech from a politician, right? Especially the kids doing remote learning at home. Mask or no mask, those kids are not listening to you. They're watching Peppa Pig in another tab. It's not about the kids. Say I was doing the thing, because everyone's got a reason for taking off the mask. No, I didn't take off the mask. I only took off the mask because I needed to take off the mask. Yeah, that's why everyone takes off the mask. That's why you're not allowed to take off the mask. And Stacey's campaign, for them to say the criticism is politically motivated, that might be true, but then again, so was posting the picture in the first place. I mean, the picture was politics, right? Politics is the only reason people hang out with second graders that they don't know, or at least the only reason that doesn't get you arrested. And you know what? That's the real issue here. Going to this classroom in the first place. Abrams is campaigning for governor of Georgia. So why waste your time meeting kids who can't even vote when you could be out in the streets meeting adults in Georgia who also can't vote? Although I guess this may be part of Stacey's plan, you know? You meet with the school kids, and then if they line up at the polls now, they'll turn 18 by the time they reach the voting booth. It's pretty smart, actually, yeah. I take my mask off to you, madame. But look, as bad as this was, at least Stacey Abrams didn't make the masking rules in Georgia. Because if you break the rules that you make, that's much worse for you. Which is exactly what happened in Los Angeles over the weekend.
California Governor Gavin Newsom, along with the mayors of L.A. and San Francisco, on the defensive over photos showing them without masks posing with Magic Johnson.
The politicians were seen here at SoFi Stadium over the weekend at the Rams 49ers game, not wearing masks. L.A. County rules state people at large events have to wear masks, except when eating or drinking.
Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti defending his maskless picture with Magic Johnson. In an exchange with a reporter Wednesday, Garcetti claimed he held his breath.
I'm used to criticism as a public figure. I've been wearing the mask the entire game long. People want a picture, I hold my breath. Zero risk.
Is this guy being serious? Is it like that's a real thing?
See me?
He wasn't holding his breath. Right? Everyone knows when you hold your breath, your face does this. That's holding your breath. Now, look, am I saying that, oh, politicians need to always hold themselves accountable to every single law that they impose on us? Kinda, yeah. Or at least have a better reason to break the laws than, oh, shit, it's Magic Johnson. That's so irresponsible. You're supposed to set the example. And if you ask me, the biggest scandal here is that Garcetti is making it sound like Magic asked him for a picture. Yeah, the way he said it. Oh, when people ask me for the... No, my man. If two people take a picture together, the person who sucks at basketball, they're the ones who ask for the picture. That's the rules of taking pictures. So again, like, why can't politicians admit when they messed up? Instead of deleting tweets and offering weird excuses, just say, you know what, I messed up. I wanted to see my face in the picture, and when the mask is on, it's not as cool. Because the rest of us actually get that, right? Taking a photo with a mask on sucks. It's weird. People take photos smiling, right? Unless it's like the 1850s, because all those photos are more like...
This camera had better not steal my soul.
But other than that, people smile in photos. That's kind of the whole point. We get it. So look, I'm not an epidemiologist, but maybe it's a good thing that mask mandates are starting to go away. Students in school will be able to interact normally. Democrats can stop getting tripped up by their own mask mandates. And for me, well, I'll finally be able to tell when the waiter is judging me for ordering off the kids' menu. You know what? Sometimes I just want two fish sticks, okay? I'm a vegan. All right, when we come back, Grammy Award winner, Robert Glasper. You don't want to miss it.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarsella.
Putting bad guys away, there's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarsella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the law was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarsella.
We got to show that he's a corrupt cop.
They can go f*** themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests from creators to cast to superfans to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is multi-Grammy and Emmy award-winning artist Robert Glasper. He's here to talk about his new album, Black Radio 3. Robert Glasper.
Yes, indeed.
Welcome to The Daily Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to see you, my dude. Good to have you here. For one of the most anticipated albums, I think, of all time.
All time, period.
Genuinely, yeah. Of all time.
Past Thriller,
like,
for sure.
Before music was even invented, people
absolutely.
Have just been like, this is what we've been waiting for.
And I'm acting like it's not a big deal. But it is. So, you know, we know that.
Oh, man, I feel like you're a big deal, though, man. It's like, you know, there are a few musicians... like you'll meet or you'll hear about where every musician wants to work with them. You know, with comedians, you say it's a comedian's comedian.
Right.
You know,
right.
You are a musician's musician.
Right.
Everyone from Erykah Badu all yeah. the way through to like her and Corday and, you know, mm. Kendrick Lamar. And, mm. Let's start with that. What do you think it is about your music that every musician gravitates towards?
I think it's just being honest, the honesty of it all, because, you know, I'm technically trained, you know, a little bit of classical music, but I went to school for jazz, you know,
okay.
all that stuff. So I have that, but at the same time, you know, with all the genres that I play with the masters of that genre. So when I cross over, it's a real thing, you know what I mean? So I play with the masters of hip hop. I used to play in the Roots. I play with Jay Dilla, you know what I mean? I used to play with Q-Tip and Common and all those. So that's the hip hop thing. And then the R&B world, we're just talking about playing with Maxwell for years.
Yes,
and my
right.
friend Bilal and Ledisi and Layla Hathaway and all these other people. And, you know, I grew up playing with my mother was a singer, you know, a vocalist. So it's like I was just in those slots with the real people for so long.
Yeah.
So I can tap into that, you know what I mean?
I like this, like in a kung fu movie, you go and learn with all the best masters of all the
exactly.
different styles.
I'm like Bruce Lee of the piano. It's like the Wing Chun of music.
Bruce Lee of the piano.
That's what it is.
Come and see him, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Glasper. They call him the Bruce Lee of the piano. I mean, there's a few people who could argue with this. Like for those who don't know, I mean, like, let's say somebody like Kendrick Lamar,
yeah.
you know? He's known to be one of the most meticulous artists out there.
Absolutely.
You work with him on
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah. Right? To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
But the way it happens is you're supposed to be there for one song.
Yeah.
He hears you play.
Yep.
And then he goes like, no, all of it.
All of it. Yeah, I was there. My friend Terrace Martin called me. He's like, yo, come by the studio. I'm here with Kendrick now. I need you to play for one song.
Wait, that happens
down,
in real life?
Literally one, in real
you
life.
See, I've heard that like in movies and stuff. Be like, come to the studio right now. I didn't know that was real.
It was so, I was recording my own record. I was recording my record covered. And my boy Terrace called me. He's like, you in L.A.? I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm at the studio. I'm at Dr. Dre's studio with Kendrick. Come now, after you finish recording that, come there. And I went there, played the first song, and Kendrick was there. He's like, whoa, keep him there. Pull up so-and-so, pull up so-and-so. And I would hear it once and play what I heard. He's like, play what you hear.
Wow.
And I literally did every song, one take, play what I heard. So I'm on like 9 or 10 songs. Some of the stuff I didn't even get credit for because it happened so fast. You know what I mean? After, you know, but like everything happened so fast, but it was amazing, man. And Kendrick's so open. He's like a jazz musician to me.
Yes,
you know, he's just
yes, he
so
is.
Open
yeah.
and whatever happens in the moment, he's like, let's do that. You know what I mean? So
when you're choosing who to collaborate with on your albums, I mean, you have a pick. You know, every artist wants to work with you. Mm. You love working with different artists. Mm. You don't just pick who you want to work with. You also pick what genre you want the album to fall into. And not many people can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know this until I was doing the research for this interview.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that when it comes to the Grammys, you have to choose which category your music is going to be in.
You choose what category
that's your music a gamble.
Is going to be. Absolutely.
Because in jazz, you pretty much know. I mean, come on.
I was a jazz, and that's what happened with my first Black Radio album.
Yes.
Black Radio 1, it came out 2012.
Okay.
And I'm a jazz musician, so I had 4 jazz albums before that.
Right.
And
you've won 4 Grammys.
We must mention this. Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. I'm out here. You know what I mean? But it's not about the awards, it's about the music. But I, with that, everybody's like, oh, you're a jazz musician, so put the album in the jazz category. But I was on the streets. I was on tour with Maxwell.
Yes.
I'm knowing what's happening in the R&B world. The R&B world loved the record.
Right.
The hip-hop world loved the record.
Right.
So I knew, like, I'm seeing it happen in real time, so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna put this in the R&B
Oof.
Category. And when we got nominated, I was like, oh, man, that I was done then. I was like, we're not going to win. But
that's
I was like,
the vindication
cool.
you needed.
Vindication I needed. And then when you have Jimmy Jam.
Why do you think you're not going to win?
Because no one knew me in that category. No one knows me. No, at that time, no one knew me in that world.
Yeah, but
so I'm kind of thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, we got nominated at least. That I'm good for that. I'm not thinking we're going to win.
That's
because
not
no
how
one
Bruce
knew
Lee
me.
Would think.
That is not how Bruce Lee would think.
You know?
That's true.
Bruce
right.
Lee would go, I'm going to win the Grammy.
I became Bruce Lee right after that Grammy. That's when I became Bruce Lee.
Got it. The grasshopper.
Exactly.
That's exactly
that's
what it is.
For sure.
Growing up as a kid, I love listening and hearing about your story because I love hearing about anybody who's been to church as much as I have
oh,
growing
yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah.
You were in church a lot.
A lot. For like, no reason, all the time. My mom was the music.
It's not for no reason. It's for all the reasons.
It's for all the reasons.
You got blessings.
You know.
What do you mean? You got blessings. But like, you know, okay, so because a lot of people go to a lot of church,
yeah.
But few people I've met go to different churches. So my mom took me to every different kind of church.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Played
so,
all of them.
And you played, that's what intrigued me.
Yeah.
You played music in every church.
I played for a seven-day Adventist church on Saturdays.
All right.
I played for a Catholic church early Sunday morning.
But what are you playing at the Catholic church?
This particular hymnals.
Okay.
But this particular Catholic church, also the priest was a jazz fan. And and the choir director, rest in peace, Kim Roy, she passed away, but she was a jazz singer. So they would do the call and response things to jazz.
No,
tunes.
Come on.
It was so innovative.
Come on. You're telling me that when I was in Catholic church, I could have been getting jazz.
Absolutely. We were changing up things and making them jazz. It was amazing. And then right around the corner at 11 o'clock, I would go to the Baptist church. I play that.
So that must have been the most fun.
Absolutely. And I was balling. I made money. In high school, I was crazy with the money.
Wait, they paid you?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, I've only given money at church. I've never gotten money from church.
Yeah, I bought so much lunch from my friends. It was crazy. Turn the tops on me. Going down. I'm not even thirsty, but I always want to do this.
No, you should do it. That's what it's here for.
Mm.
It's not even for the actual drinking of the thing. We just keep the water from episode
exactly.
to episode. We don't even change it.
Just want to do it.
So, two Grammy nominations coming up.
Yes.
I know you're going to be working at the Oscars as well. The album comes out February 25th.
Yes, Black Radio 3. Absolutely.
A lot of pressure.
No pressure.
See.
You forgot. Be water, my friend.
I'm loving this, man. Because most people would go, the first album came out, it was basically like The Godfather, you know, where people were just like, what is this album?
Yes.
Then the second one came out, people were like, we didn't think it could get better, but it did.
Boom.
Now you got the third one coming out.
The third one coming
most
out.
Most people would think pressure.
No pressure.
Like water.
Like water, my friend.
My friend, congratulations on another amazing
Thank you.
Album. Thank you for
you.
Being on the show.
Absolutely.
Black Appreciate Radio it. 3 comes out February 25th.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarcella.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarcella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the lawyer was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarcella.
We gotta show that he's a corrupt cop.
They can go themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
With Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's our show for tonight. But before we go, to celebrate Black History Month, The Daily Show's monochrome collection is getting an update. We got a brand new mug. And 100% of the Viacom CBS proceeds will be donated to the National Black Arts Festival, an organization working to educate, engage, and entertain audiences by supporting art and artists of African descent. So if you want to support the National Black Arts Festival and grab your very own Daily Show mug, then scan the QR code or head to the link below.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central. And stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
In the 90s, New York detective Louis Scarcella locked up the worst criminals.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it.
Then jailhouse lawyers took aim, led by Derek Hamilton.
Scarcella took me to the precinct and lied.
20 men eventually walked free. Now, in the Burden podcast, after a decade of silence, Louis Scarcella finally tells his story, and so does Derek Hamilton. Listen to The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.